Is this thing on? Is it on? Do you remember us? We are Podcast 63. I don't know if you guys know us or remember us, but we are back. We're back for season two.
Woo!
Season two of our Podcast 63. Doing the same stuff, just new season number, which is awesome. We made it. We made it to season two. For all the doubters and all the haters, we did it. Never said we did it well, but we did it. Anyway, so this is going to be the first episode of season two. We have some news items to talk to you about. There's been a lot of stuff that's happened since we last recorded a podcast. We have the non-con schedule came out, so we're going to talk a little bit about that. We'll tell you about how we're going to break that down. And then we also have a commitment. We have a summer commitment for a senior in high school coming in the year 2020. So we'll get into that as well. But thank you guys for tuning in to another episode, season two, episode one of Podcast 63.
He jumps, he passes out to Hunter. Hunter shoots off the rim. Ralph gets it, scores. It's over. It's over. We won. We won the ball game. Viola won the ball game. Oh, we won 60-58.
All right. So the first news topic we're going to touch on here is our brand spanking new practice facility, which we've mentioned before on different episodes of the podcast. It was being built all of last year. I think they even broke ground before last season. But it is a huge, beautiful new building that has a cool walkover from the practice facility to Gentile Arena and Norville. It should be a super cool building. It looks great. There have been some pictures that have been starting to show up from guys getting in the gym, getting after it.
Have there been some pictures?
Yeah, there have been a few pictures. There's been even a few characters, a few guys in there that are not on the team. One of note is Jimmy Butler.
Jimmy who?
Jimmy Butler.
Okay.
Marquette graduate. Shout out to our Marquette fans. And then currently on the Miami Heat, right? He just signed with them this year. Formerly 76ers, formerly the Bulls, formerly, is there another team? That's it. Yeah, but Jimmy Butler, and then Tyler Hero, recent draft pick of the Miami Heat, three-point specialist. Where'd he go to college?
He went to Kentucky.
Instead of another school that he committed to, right?
Yes, instead of Wisconsin.
a little inside joke. But so Jimmy Butler and Tyler Hero came through to our practice facility. I'm sure it had to be some sort of connection with the team, whether it's a player, whether it's a coach, whether it's Porter, I don't know. You know, someone somewhere knew him, and he was probably in Chicago for a couple of days with, you know, his teammate or his friend or his family or something like that, and needed somewhere to practice, and he chose us, which is super cool because there's tons of other, you know, universities in Chicago, namely DePaul, USC, a few others, and then that one that's farther north from us that's not in Chicago, Northwestern. And it's cool that they chose us, you know, it shows that this big new building is paid off just already in reputation in, I don't know, just having guys come through, and I'm sure they scrimmaged and they practiced against our guys, got some shots up. So the building is here, it's new, it's cool. But Lou, what are some of the positives of this building besides just that it looks nice?
Well, it looks like another building on campus, but it's big. It's new. It's spanking new. It gives both men's, women's basketball and men's and women's volleyball spaces to practice. And it just keeps any pretty much delay of practicing. People can practice in Gentile in the practice facility now. So it gives it multiple outlets. And just great for recruits, like your most recent one, to come in and see, hey, we got this whole facility just for you and other members of the athletic squad who have these sports to practice. And this is for you guys. This isn't just for anyone. This is for athletes of these teams. So I think that just makes a big statement that the future Loyola Ramblers are going to want to come here, that they're going to want to practice in a facility that is meant to improve their skills and hopefully get some W's.
One of the things I didn't realize until after it was finished, I think it's two floors, right?
It is, yes.
There's two floors. It's massive. Like, the first floor is huge. I mean, it's like a gymnasium, so the ceilings are probably, 30 feet up? And then there's probably a second floor that's identical or very similar. It's a huge building. It's super cool. It was a big deal when they cut the ribbon ceremony. They had what's his name? The guy that donated all the money, the president of the university. Porter was there. Lots of different people there. And it was right before the start of the academic year as well. So it was a fun way, I think, for the team to, I'm sure they were super pumped about it. You know, that was something that they were promised when they were coming through as recruits, and then, you know, the past couple years they've been here. So, but it can do pretty much nothing but help us recruit future guys, future high schoolers or transfers to come to the university. So super cool thing. If we hear any more news about it, we'll be sure to let you know. But as of right now, finished and I'm sure being used all hours of the day. So that's our first thing. The second thing that we have for you guys, we talked a little bit about Jimmy Butler, but he came like 2 weeks ago or a week ago. And then the men's basketball team just posted another picture of Jimmy Butler in Gentile Arena with the guys. So I don't know. It's cool. Do you think you have any theories about why he's there or you know, why?
Probably a good connection with Valentine being on the Bulls and stuff, but just a guy, an athlete, professional athlete, recognizing Loyola Ramblers as a team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, go for it. What do you want to say?
So, yeah, no, just moving on. Then we're just going to not just talk about ourselves, but we just mentioned the Valley and news that's been going on in the Valley.
Mm-hmm.
Quickly, just to highlight, teams like SIU. We got to mention SIU first because former coach
mm-hmm.
B. Mullins is down there. But they've gotten a few guys to commit. But the big thing coming out is everyone's non-con. So that's a big thing to highlight. Some teams are playing. Evansville's got a strong one. We'll go into this later, but we just want to let listeners know of like who's kind of competing out there in the non-conference to really bulk up their season for the conference. You and I and everybody. Another point for the Valley. People know a few years ago for the fans, we went to Spain and did a whole Spain trip. So every year, or every 4 years, the NCAA allows, and again, it's on different times, but universities every 4 years, teams get to travel. Mm-hmm. And they get to go play games against schools in other countries. So I believe Valpo went to Canada, Evansville went to, I believe, England, you and I went somewhere, maybe Italy. So a few of these teams in the Valley got to go overseas and play this summer against teams that are not just practice teams.
Mm-hmm.
So this was pretty cool to see the Valley, but also just for us as Loyola Ramba fans, just kind of keep an eye out for it, just see how guys did. Evansville has a few guys coming off of redshirting, so that's a big thing to watch out. And you and I, we got Javon Freeman, so those are names you're going to start hearing, and we want to get you guys familiarized with the NBC teams that are coming out there. And we're going to talk about some news then leading into another name that you would have heard a lot about, we don't know, but with Drake.
Yeah, so just today, we're recording this on Thursday, a little insight for you guys on the 12th. Today or yesterday, news dropped about current player Andre Tremel Murphy, who I believe last year was on the second team all defense, or he had some sort of all conference honors. Unfortunately, he was charged in two different counts. He was in his room at some sort of party, and he accidentally fired a gun. And it went off, went through a wall of his house, and hit another party goer in the head. So pretty serious stuff. He was officially charged with discharging a firearm and making false reports to law enforcement. He was telling, when police officers came, he was telling him that, no, it wasn't his gun, that, you know, this kid just fell, that he just hit his head. And so pretty serious charges. As of right now, he's not with the team. And I don't think there's much legal action at this moment other than that he was charged with these. So we'll have to wait and see what sort of what the repercussions are from this. But at least for now, he's not with the team. I'd imagine that, you know, he won't probably start with the team. This could be something that affects him during the non-conference schedule. But if all goes to plan and he's not, you know, incarcerated in jail, he might be able to play during the conference schedule.
Yeah, so this is a big Valley news. Drake, as people remember, they were a big team with us last year. They tied with us for the Valley. one seed, so that we went into it as the top one seed, but they were tied, so he was a key piece. Other news with Drake, they lost one of their players, was going for he applied and appealed for a sixth year because he got injured.
Nick Norton, the guard.
Nick Norton. So that's the thing, is we've got to watch out for these news. Drake having a big impact on us last year. It's really important to care about what the Valley's up to. And then just lastly with the Murphy topic, is kind of similar to Malik Yarborough last year, how he had a whole criminal issues and stuff going on, and that affected the team play, and that affected him not being there. So, again, this one's a little bit more serious, understood. We're not a crime podcast or anything, but we got to be talk about the Valley and issues that come up and things that affect our play. So this might be a big – we see as a big down for Drake. And it's sad, but we'll see hopefully a big improvement then in the Valley with our chances moving forward.
I believe last year one of the SIU players, I forget his name, something similar happened where he had, like, I don't know if it was legal issues, but he had some issue with the team or some fight or something like that, and the SIU didn't allow him to play the non-conference schedule and then sat him out, I think, one or two games in the conference schedule.
So. Yeah, and then actually over the summer, kind of after season, Valpo had a few issues. Two of their players got caught with weed and stuff.
Right,
so
yeah.
those are things. And again, they're in the news, so it's not like we're speculating. Mm-hmm. But those make huge impacts to teams when these guys make decisions that hurt their team, because then you could see this ripple effect. So we just want to say thanks to the guys on our teams.
I was going
to
say the same thing.
to just keeping a good head on their shoulders. We got guys like Cam up there. Luke is great. Guys who represent the school and do well, and they also play great on the hardwood. So.
Yeah, I was going to say, knock on wood. Like, we hope nothing happens. Everyone, from what I can tell, is a really stand-up guy, you know, starting with some of the seniors that graduated last year and even before that, Milton Doyle. You know, when some of the coaches say it's all about the culture, it really is. Like, they do promote that, you know, good behavior. And so, yeah, we're very happy and thankful that our guys are, you know, sticking to being good kids, going to school, and playing good basketball on the court, too.
There we go.
Yeah, so that wraps up our news section of the podcast. From here, I think we're going to move in to the meat of our podcast this week, which is both the non-conference schedule and also our newest commit, guard Baylor Hebb. So stick with us, and we'll get into that here in a minute.
And the Ramblers are moving on!
So now we're going to talk about our non-conference schedule, which was released just, I don't know, a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, about that.
We were one of the last ones in the Valley
to
release our schedule, and I don't know about you all, but I was anxious. I wanted to see it. I wanted to see who we're playing, the new teams, the teams that we're playing again, you know, certain series that we had that are no longer running, certain series that we started last year that are, you know, have the home return game. So we're going to break it down for you. There are, including the exhibition game, there are 14 non-conference games. They start at the end of October and then run through December. How we're going to do it is that we're going to break it down into three different sections over the next three podcasts. So this podcast, we're going to talk about the first five regular and then one exhibition leading up to the Cayman Islands tournament, which next week we'll talk about the Cayman Islands tournament because there are eight total teams. We could play it up to, I think, there's
combination-wise.
Yeah, it could work out. We could play any of the seven teams, really. So we'll have to break that down for you. And then in 2 weeks, we'll talk about the final five games, which have a few interesting ones in there. So the first six opponents we play, first of all, we start off with Indianapolis University, which is a Division II basketball team. It's our exhibition game. And for those of you who might not know, it is the return game for our recent transfer player who sat out last year, 6'6", guard forward, Tate Hall. Tate was, I believe he won the Freshman of the Year in that conference for Indianapolis University. And then his sophomore year, he went on to, you know, post better numbers, higher points per game, higher rebounds per game. Made it clear that he was a good player in that conference and on that team and was good enough to turn heads in Division I basketball, and thus he now is at Loyola. Lou, what are your thoughts about just the game as a whole, Tate's homecoming, you have any thoughts about the Indianapolis University?
Yeah, I believe it's at Loyola. So, so I think it's just a good start. I think this is games like these are great. Last year was the rumor about we played down in Indiana, and that didn't go as well.
We might still have us. That was like a secret.
Yeah, so we always have these secret games leading up to the season. As true and old fans might know, we've played Northwestern a few times in these secret scrimmages. So there's always those games that we don't see publicly, but you might see a quick Snapchat, a quick Instagram of something from a player. Example, Ben Richardson showing us the new gym floor, so you never know what players...
Also, Ben Richardson breaking the fact that Clayton Custer signed a professional contract.
Exactly. So you never know what our players will show us, but all good things. So these games, I think, are great, and that kind of ties into the secret games. The games are just where we see things actually start to form. Probably this exhibition game will just be like the one they did last year where they invite fans to come and everything.
It's still like a ticketed game.
Yeah, it's still a ticketed game, so please go because this might be a shot for you to definitely get an experience where you don't have to be a season ticket holder and get to see how you feel about the team. Again, if you don't have season tickets, get season tickets, I'd say, because this team's a good team.
At me next time. I still need to get my season ticket.
Boo.
I know, I'm a bad fan.
But wrapping up Indianapolis, like, it's an exhibition game. Tate's playing a team he knows, so it's going to be kind of a little, in my opinion, cheating that we know maybe a few things. But again, it's their D2 team, and it's great for them to see us and see our facilities, but it's great for us to pretty much just, like, run things, see how things work, see if plays guys can actually meet and see how ball movement's going to be huge. How do we see in the game? We'll talk about only this one because it's the very first one, and we don't know how the other ones, but, like, how will Cameron Crawford control the tempo? Is he going to lead? Bruno's the only senior. He's starting. Like, what? We don't know.
We're going to see so many lineups.
Exactly.
There's going to be, like, every player is going to get minutes. They're going to be subbing guys in and out like crazy. There's going to be weird lineups where Krotwig's playing with Frank or there's 5-point guard. Like, it's going to be weird. But
that's just the process. You need to just figure out what works. And that's the thing is we only know what works probably in practice.
Right.
So we need to...
Those guys need to play other players. And
exactly.
One of the things that, relating to Tate Hall and kind of just NCAA as a whole, we're just going to touch on a little bit, I think is a little BS, is that Tate Hall, for those of you who don't know, he transferred in last year from a Division II school. So how NCAA basketball works, there's Division I, which has the 353 teams or 356 or something like that. And then for the schools that are smaller, have a smaller budget, or just haven't performed as well, there's D2. I think there's D3 even.
There's D3, and then there's NAIA.
Yeah.
Like, just small. And then there's JUCO, technically, that NCAAJ. So there's a lot of different levels, but we were just talking about this, but we kind of want to just put a debate out there. We might just put a tweet after we post. But do you guys think that it was right that a Division II player moving up for getting noticed and getting the camaraderie and claim that he's that good of a player, that they would have to sit out a year even though they're coming from a Division II level? Or do you think that? And if you do, please give a reason why. We'll maybe post that on Twitter, get the fans getting back engaged with the podcast.
Yeah, my initial thought is it's kind of BS that, like, you're going to a harder competition. So if you think you're prepared to do that, and if coaches think that you're – capable of playing at that level, you should be able to play right away. Another thing I could see is, like, that maybe the player is not as physically, like, ready, so maybe he needs to take a year to hone his skill. Anyway, I mean, I think it could be interesting, too, to see it go both ways. Maybe the coach could decide for the player, or the coach and the player could come together to decide whether he has to sit out a year or not. But, yeah, like Lou said, we'll put a little poll after this episode to say, you know, if you think that sitting out a year going from Division II to Division I is right, if it's correct, if it should be allowed. So that wraps up the Indy one, Indianapolis. The next game that we have on the schedule is against UC Davis. UC Davis is in the Big West Conference. This game is going to be played at Loyola. Last year, very unimpressive 11-20 season. They finished 6th out of 9 teams in that Big West Conference. The Big West as a whole is not a very good conference. They did have one good team last year, UC Irvine, who I think upset. They're a 13 seed, I think, and they upset someone in the tournament. Most of the UC, like the University of California schools are in there. There's, like, I think Cal State Fullerton's in there.
Yeah, Cal State Fullerton's a big one that you'll see.
Didn't Was it Jalen Pipkins? Didn't he play 1 year at Cal State Fullerton? And then he did JUCO?
We'll look into that while we continue on, just to come back to
eventually it. When we get back to, like, when we do our episodes closer to the regular season, when we're talking about the teams more in depth, I'll do some research on that. But, yeah, it's a lot of the California schools. This, I mean, if we're not winning games like this, then we're in trouble. This is a game pretty much should be a win, should be a double-digit win. But again, early in the season, anything could happen. But it's a home game against a not that good team that is not really supposed to be all that good this year. So we'll wait and see. But as of right now, and I wonder who are there. Sometimes the coaches like to schedule teams for when their seniors graduate. Like, so I wonder if any of the guys are from California. Because then next year we might go play at UC Davis.
So no one's from California.
No? Okay, yeah. Good call. You know more than I do.
Yeah.
Adam, do you have any thoughts on the UC Davis?
No, UC Davis, again, Buck said it the best. If we don't win these games, this game will determine our season. Mm-hmm. These are games that, not to be any rude, but they're kind of a tune-up game. Like, these are games where you get the guys rattled. These are the games where Alabama plays Citadel before they play LSU. Like, you play a school that's maybe has somewhat of a name, has a decent like team. It's not like they're garbage. So we don't want to play teams past the 200 mark of top 200 teams. Like that just in our eyes is a sign. Granted, we'll talk later about our Division II team, but again, some teams play it different. Some teams just pack their schedule because they know their non-conference is going to be easy, and some know their conference is going to be hard, so they need to win games to be competitive.
Mm-hmm.
So games like this, though, are competitive enough to like have a little, I think, competition. But these are games.
I would think it'd be close for the first half.
And again, it's early in the season, so we're still learning what the team's going to be doing.
Yeah,
so.
I would say after this game, we should have a pretty good idea of who's in the starting lineup, who's going to be like getting most of the minutes, because then, after that, we have a rematch.
Rematch.
A rematch at Furman University last year.
For what?
Furman University. I think it's Furman University. It could be Furman College for all I know. Last year, Furman came into our building.
Ooh.
Beat us on a game-winning dunk in the last, what, 3 seconds? 3 seconds? 4 seconds? 5 seconds? I was in shambles. I was a wreck. I was watching it on my phone because I thought, there's no way this purple college is going to come into our building and knock us off. And sure enough, they were a good team last year. They were respectable. It didn't end up being a horrible loss, but it was definitely a team we should have beaten at Loyola.
Yeah, no. So as people remember, it was hard watching ESPN or any Twitter feed that night because it was just
Top 10,
and Furman beats Final Four, Loyola Chicago. So, and again, that's just what happens when you reach the top and reach those high levels of competition. People come after you. People are trying to just really come after the titles, come after the competition. But this one should just be, and if we're Porter, we think this should just be a statement game of wiping this team. And nothing against any of the guys at Furman. Like,
no.
God bless you guys, probably are good. As Sister Jean says, we hope no one has any injuries, and we hope everyone plays fair and the refs see it well. But we just got to pummel this team to the ground and just
and
make
it's
a statement.
At Furman.
It is. That's
so
the thing.
It would be a quality win.
Like, it would be. Exactly.
This isn't a team we're going to just wipe the floor with, although I want that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
They should. They're
NIT team, too. That's the thing people need to remember. We're both an NIT team.
It's like an equal, somewhat equal competition.
Yeah, again, this is a good game to have because people, when looking at our schedule, like, oh yeah, you played Furman because you played them, but they were in the NIT. And those are teams I think moving forward is a great, just quick segue. We should schedule teams who make postseason conferences or competitions. We don't need to be playing every NCAA tournament team, but NIT and Oilers are going to connection too soon with the CBI. So teams who have been to high levels, like again, I'll tie it back. When Loyola won the CBI, we were invited to places like Notre Dame. So schools were like, hey, these teams won these a little bit lower level competition, but they won it. These teams don't want to play. So that's the respect you get, and then also that helps our schedule kind of get strong. So Furman, it's an away game, so it's going to be interesting to watch. There's maybe a purple stadium, maybe. I don't know what they got, but I want to see what their Paladine is. But we got to get
this. We definitely have a better mascot. I mean, there's no way that we don't have a better mascot. Lou Wolf is top.
Bo Rambler is.
Yeah. Well, return of Bo Rambler this year, maybe. I also, one other interesting point. I was trying to think of how many guys are on this team this year that will have played in that game last year. So you have Krawig, you have Williamson, you have Skokna, you have Frank, but Cooper is hurt, so Cooper's not playing. Isaiah transferred, mm-hmm. and everyone else is new. Tate was on the bench, he was not playing, and Jake Bowman.
It's a new team.
Squad. So I might not be as much of a revenge game, which, I don't know, might play in our favor.
I think for the coaching staff, it should be
for like
even though we have new coaching staff, to side note.
Krawig 30-point game, calling it right now.
Krawig 2 threes, let's call that.
But the season or that game?
That game.
all right, so Furman, rematch game, should be exciting. Put it on ESPN, great game. Next, Coppin State, not to be confused with Copper State or Cops in my state, Coppin State.
Coppin State, Chobin.
Not going to lie, have not heard of this school before seeing them on our schedule. This is probably one of two games that I wish we had a different team scheduled, this in the Division II game, Division II school. A lot of the rest of them are decent games, good games. I don't know. I mean, they're in the same conference that Norfolk State is in. So we've played Norfolk State, what, 3 years in a row now? Two years?
Yeah, and then at least two. There's another team down there that we've played.
Oh, I don't remember.
Well, yeah, it's a tough one to talk about.
The MEAC was a Mid-Eastern Atlantic Pacific
Let's be Antarctic. Honest, listeners. We're not excited by this game by any means. It's another home game. We're a little disappointed, and we'll get into this maybe toward the end. I'll mention a few teams just to highlight that aren't on this schedule that I'm confused why not.
Yeah.
But this is a game where maybe this is last minute, and we don't know. We don't know what's going through the coach's mind for scheduling.
Yeah.
Maybe
coach, doing someone a favor.
Exactly. We don't know.
They might be buying the game.
Yeah.
Paying us.
Yeah.
As I don't know, we'll see. I mean, hopefully the giveaway that day is fun, because it's probably going to be is that November, mid-November, probably pretty cold game. Yeah, we'll see. Coppin State, trash team in the Mid-Eastern Atlantic Conference. Sorry, Coppin State. Moving on to another team, another rematch, to a team that we played. It was a defensive battle. I was nervous. We had it in the bag. I think Marcus hit a really nice shot at the end to put us up like one, and then dude chucked it from 8 feet behind the three-point line, banked it in, I'm pretty sure, to win the game. I'm talking about St. Joe's. St. Joe's is in the A-10 conference, which is a pretty good conference. It's probably a better conference than the Missouri Valley Conference, at least last year. They have a new coach there, which Luke can talk about a little bit, I think. They finished 14-19, 10th out of 14 in the A-10. But this year is going to be at Loyola, so a little return game. They played him at St. Joe's because Marcus is from the area there out in the east. They like the schedule. Look.
But
and then
we
not
also
got to
say. So I would say game. If we're going to really talk about that point quickly, games like UMKC.
Yeah,
that was for Ben and Clay 100%.
I think UMKC is in the anyway.
The St. Joe's game, people got to remember, we played St. Joe's the year before or 2 years before in the Island tournament. So we've played them again, Jesuit school.
True.
So they're kind of an interesting school to have against, but also they have a history of kind of making the tournament. So it was great that Marcus could be home. We saw pictures. So it was cool.
Only cool thing was we didn't win.
Yeah. So again, this was a tough game, to really swallow. It was a close one. That was the thing. But I think it's just, another statement game. It's kind of crazy to think we need to make statements after being a team that finished first in our conference, made it to a postseason, not the NCAA, but the NIT. But we these games will build what this team is.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know who this team is. We don't know leadership. We know Krutwig and Lucas are there, and that's great. We only have one senior.
After that.
And
yeah.
Exactly. So these games are going to figure out what this team's momentum is and what drives them, and to see that against St. Joe's, which then quickly St. Joe's new head coach, believe their former head coach, Phil Martell, I believe his name is. He was with the team for over 20-plus years, so legend.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys you just keep around because he produces you postseason seasons sometimes. But their new head coach
Billy
is
Lang.
Actually
Billy Lang,
a most recent assistant coach for the Philadelphia 76ers. So an NBA assistant coach. The Valley is not new to these kind of coaches. We have Evansville, former Boston Celtics coach, down with McCarty down in Evansville. And so these assistant coaches on the NBA teams, they are going to places. And granted, Philadelphia 76ers are right next to where the St. Joe's are in Philadelphia. So probably a connection there. But maybe you start seeing St. Joe's, and we don't know what their schedule is right now, but playing a high level because mm-hmm. their coach is a high level. But you don't know. They didn't finish too hot in the A-10. Funny enough, little side note, St. Louis won the whole tournament there to go to the NCAA tournament. So it's a mixed bag of things. But St. Joe's is a little bit, again, a redemption because we lost them. And
yeah.
Anytime you lose them, you want to stick it to them. You want to get that W back. And the W helps us way a lot on any pressure about having a good record.
And the one thing about the A-10 is they should have a few good teams. Is VCU in the A-10?
VCU, yeah.
VCU's supposed to be extremely good this year. And they're so always. The nice thing about I've even seen them in like top tens. So but the nice thing about playing a team that's in a conference with a very good team is if, for instance, you know, we beat
St. Joe's.
If we beat St. Joe's, yeah. And then they go on and they beat VCU. It looks really good for us, you know, because exactly. then their ranking is going to go really high. So a little bit of strategy, but this is a game we should win. Another game that we should win is our last game before the tournament. It is against a new team to Division One
nope.
last year.
No.
Yeah, the no. Summit to Horizon. Summit is not D1, is it? Or it
Summit
is D1.
Is D1, yeah.
Anyway, new to the Horizon League. That's what I was getting at. IUPUI. Which was their second year in the Horizon League. Their first year in the Horizon League last year. This year's their second league. You know what, Lou, you take this one. I'm going to go get a drink of water because I can't get this one right. Go for
yeah,
it.
No. So IUPUI, for oldies that know this, IUPUI actually kind of, I would call it the minor league Loyola team. Long story short, we had a former coach who went there and actually coached there. And he would take guys who really weren't fitting it at Loyola, especially in Porter's beginning years, guys who really didn't fit Porter's scheme, and they would transfer there and play. But IUPUI filled in Valpo's spot in the Horizon League from the Summit, which, again, is we were in the Summit. We were in the Horizon. So we know that area. We know teams who kind of move up the ranks. So another kind of local team in Northwest Indiana maybe or near – well, I think maybe in Indianapolis – so another kind of local team, but, funny enough, none of those guys, I believe right now, any of the guys on the team are from, played any time at Loyola, but, their head coach or former head coach actually, was an assistant coach, Jason Gardner at Loyola from 2011 to 2013, Porter's beginning year. So he was assistant for Porter, left and went for a coach at Memphis, I believe. And then actually took over at the IUPUI job where he started getting these transfers from Loyola. But as of recently, as a month ago, maybe just recently this summer, Jason Gardner was arrested or at least charged with OWI, which is operating while intoxicated. So
I'd never heard of that.
Never heard. No, it's kind of a thing. Again, it's Indiana's kind of.
I think it's very much a thing because he got arrested.
He did. But again, it's not to shame anybody from Indiana, but like you do some interesting things in Indiana. So, the article we read, he was sitting in his car and he drunk.
4:30 in the morning.
4:30 in the morning.
Keys
so,
in the ignition.
Yeah, keys in the ignition. So not a good look for anyone. But
so they don't have a head coach right now.
Not a good look for a head coach who now has left that position, resigned, which I don't believe IUPUI has head coach. I haven't seen anything for assistant step up. Granted, you should be running the same plays, but again, it's a little bit of a culture shock when you don't have your figurehead, your leader, kind of there. So we don't know what the team looks like, but again, is kind of Loyola has somewhat history if people know, but now these are games that, especially leading up to a game right before the Cayman tournament, these games mean crucial building blocks toward winning the tournament. And the tournament, in my opinion, which we'll go on to later, is going to be the moving, really pretty much the pivotal moving point of our whole season because the competition's there. We have a chance to be successful, and games like IUPUI, St. Joe's, Furman, those will lead up to see what works, what doesn't work, who's healthy, who's running fast. So IUPUI, let's get it. And I think that's probably going to be the last game we're talking about. But
yeah, so I'm back now. I'm hydrated. So now I won't mess up.
Okay.
Well, I will mess up, probably. But, yeah, let's – so six games, really five. We're going to win our exhibition. If we don't win our exhibition, cancel the season, honestly. So we've got five games. Realistically, if we go – including the exhibition, if we go 5-1, I think that's okay. That's good.
Who are we losing to in your
I mean, I think it's possible that we lose to Furman. It's at Furman, and then you never know. You could just lose a random game here. I think at the beginning of our last season, I think I was thinking in my head, like, oh, we're going to go start 6-0 before our tournament. I think we started 4-2. Lost to Furman and we lost to someone else.
Was Ball State before that?
No.
Ball State was after.
It was another team. But, I mean, I it's possible we start 6-0. That would be fantastic. 6-0, I would be a little surprised. I think comfortably 5-1. And if we're 4-2, oh, I don't know. I'm a little anxious if we're 4-2.
For 4-2, I'd say we need to win everything in the conference.
Yeah. There are some good games in the schedule. Furman's a good game. There's a few good teams in the tournament. And then we also we play at Ball State. There's a few good games in here. There's nothing crazy great. Like, we're not playing like a number 5 Florida. We're not playing. I think some teams played Buffalo last year. They were a top 10-15 team.
Loyola connection there too, but...
But pretty much, we would have to lose only one or two games in our whole non-conference in order to even have a shot at getting into the tournament as yeah. a...
So just a quick note with schedules. We're just going to kind of wrap it up, but a big thing that I'm noticing is the best example I've been waiting to talk about was, and we'll talk about this later, but... Bradley came out with their non-conference, and they're playing teams that we happen to know their names pretty well. They're playing UIC and Northwestern.
Don't even get me started on them playing Northwestern. Well, it's their tournament, but yeah. Still.
But so here's the thing we're going to kind of finish up is what happened to the UIC? Maybe UIC got tired of losing, and understandable. Like, totally understandable. That's why we don't play Chicago State anymore. But granted, I'd rather play Chicago State than the D2.
Yeah, than some. Yeah, D2 so, or like what? Like Norfolk State, Coppin State. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Give me
Chicago so I'd rather State. Play Chicago State still if we're gonna play those random teams, and it also saves us money because we're only playing a team in Chicago.
Yeah, well, you can stay at your own.
Stay at your home.
Sleep in your own bed.
Easy game to bring recruits to see a team do well. But what happened to UIC and Northwestern?
How are we not playing DePaul? Do we not play DePaul?
Marquette. There's a side note. We'll get into this. Let's talk about we got a recruit.
One schedule, and then we'll get into it because that's a big thing.
Shout out Wisconsin for taking a recruit.
Oh, okay. So I mean that wraps up the first like third of our schedule ish. Like I said before, we're gonna break it down into thirds. Next podcast, we'll talk about the tournament. But I'm gonna say, my prediction is 5-1. I feel nervous about going 6-0.
We're gonna go 6-0.
Yes, yeah,
hop on the 6-0 train. St. Joe's, though, I'm gonna say if we're gonna think of a game, I think St. Joe's really? Actually might. Okay. You got a former assistant NBA coach coming in, got a different mindset, so that team might. Granted, though, it's at Loyola.
Yeah.
So that changes a lot of things. Having our home court, and again, is the people fans need a young fans, old fans. Everybody's got to come to the games this year. Last year was amazing.
Yeah, it was
and
fun.
We can't just say, "Oh, that was because we were at the Final Four." We got to start saying it because we're fans of Loyola men's basketball,
mm-hmm.
or fans of anything from the athletics. Definitely come out and support. And the schedule is, I think, one word for me is to say it's optimistic. Yeah. Of what this team could do, so
definitely. All right, that wraps it up for our scheduling portion, and then we're gonna switch gears and jump into our recruitment news. Our new commit, Baylor Hebb. So stick with us here at Podcast 63.
And the Ramblers are moving on.
All right, so the last part of the podcast, and honestly, my favorite, is the recruitment news. So just this past week, we had two different guys come in the same weekend. Baylor Hebb, a shooting guard from Coleyville, Texas, and then another big guy from, I think, Minnesota.
Yep.
The week before, we had someone else come in too, but he narrowed his list down to us, SLU, and Kansas State, and ended up,
Luke Kasubi. I think he went to Chaminade from St. Louis area. Played with MoCan Elite, so Ben.
Same team as Ben Richardson.
Ben and Clay and stuff, so that's a great AAU team. Big guy, but I think, quite honestly, he kind of might have seen that he would have been sitting behind guys like Tom Welch and stuff like that.
I mean,
so
he's talented, though.
He's very talented, so we don't know. We don't know.
I think he just wanted to stay home. play at Kansas State. He's from Kansas, so
that's from St. Louis.
Okay, but he played with the anyway. So Luke, sorry we missed you, but not gonna feel not bad gonna when we yeah, win no. our third straight MVC title. So then yeah, so moving on to the good part of the discussion here. Baylor Hebb, 6'1", 6'2", shooting guard. Definitely looks like he still has some room to grow, be it, you know, height or shoulders or I don't know, body mass. He's a thin guy. Honestly, like, I looked at him when I saw his picture, I was like, oh no, they got a scrub. Like, just from his picture. Like, his picture and, like,
yep.
one
baby
highlight.
Face. Baby face.
Yeah, it looks like a baby. And I was like, all right, like, dang. Like, okay, he's a 3-star. All right, let me look at him. And, like, from the first two videos, I saw him put someone on the ground and go up and finish lefty. And I was like, oh my God. Like, he might be good. I did some more research, and he played with, oh man, I'm gonna find his travel team. But his travel team upset a ton of different teams in the Nike EYBL tournament, which, for anyone who doesn't know, is like a regional AAU travel basketball tournament, and it's sponsored by Nike. So it's like a big, big deal. It's like where most of the recruiting happens over the summer. So he plays for 3D Hoops Academy, which is the team out of Texas. And his team upset a bunch of, like, powerhouse AAU teams. And he went on to win the offensive player of the tournament, or, like, the offensive player MVP. This kid who's, you know, 6'1", 6'2", definitely not the most athletically gifted player. And he's got great ball handling skills. He shoots lights out. He hits it from three. He pulls up from mid-range. He takes it to the hoop. He loves to finish lefty, which I think is awesome. You know, he can dribble right, he can dribble left. He's a good passer. I didn't see a bunch of defensive highlights. Defensive highlights are kind of hard to come by unless you're making the, like, insane blocks or crazy rebounds or diving on the floor for steals. So defense is a lot harder to just kind of watch tape on, at least like YouTube highlights. But Baylor Hebb, guard, he's going to be coming here in 2020. Lou, you can talk about it a little bit, but he is our only scholarship.
Yep. As of this moment. As of people may not know, but if you want to check and learn, we only had one scholarship for this graduating senior class of 2020 recruits because we only have one senior, and everyone else is juniors, sophomores, and freshmen, or redshirting. So that would be Bruno. So his scholarship was the only one that would expire at the end of this year. So we only had one spot technically open. But as Buck reminds me that every school average is about 1.8 transfer a year.
That's like the NCAA statistic, like official statistics.
That's the official statistics. As we know, last year we had two guys. We also had all their scholarships open up.
Christian. Yeah.
So you never know what might happen. I'm not hoping on anyone leaves or anything.
No, we like having the team stick together.
Yeah, that's we like having the team stick together. But you never know if someone else sees something else, or something
could be family. Happens. You never family, it could yeah. be personal reasons.
Again, we had the kid last year, Green. He committed right. to us, and then over the summer he realized he wanted to be back home in New York. So you know what? Whatever's best for these guys. But yep, Baylor is our only commit, and we'll maybe be the only commit for this year. Kind of jokingly, just because I'll mention the Twitter gangs talking about how he kind of. A little similar face to, or a little actions of Clayton Custer.
I would agree.
Clayton Custer esque is what we need to start. I guess we're gonna start bracketing players, new commits.
He's definitely like a shooter. Like he's got that shooting stroke.
Yeah.
Maybe
he's a Ben Custer. Maybe he's a Ben. He's a mix.
The love child of Ben Richardson and Clayton Custer. I like it. Yeah. I mean, I definitely see little flashes of Clay in him. I also like. The way he kind of attacks the hoop, I kind of like see some Marcus Towns in him too. Like he's aggressive. He goes to the hoop aggressively. He's looking for contact. He doesn't back down to big guys. Oh, I tweeted a quote. He had an interview the other day with one of the travel teams or like news outlets of the travel basketball teams.
Yeah, the YBL. Yeah.
Yeah, and he said something along.
He said about pretty much. He was talking about how when he.
Here we go. So. They were talking about, like, they interviewed him about, like, competition level and, like, what he thinks of when he's going up against these teams. And he said, every game I wanted to go out and kill who I was going against to prove that I belonged with the best. And that's super cool. Like, see, if you see a picture of this guy, you watch him video, like I said, he's not going to scare you. He's not going to intimidate you with how he looks, but he's going to go out and go for your throat. Like, he's going to attack the hoop. He's going to shoot a three in your face. and he's good at it. So I'm pretty excited for Baylor Hebb. I'm really interested to see how he fills out his senior year of high school, even going into his freshman year of college. He's got a lot of growing to do. That's the thing I think that worries me the most. You can look really good as a 6'1", 6'2", guard going up against guys that are a little smaller than you or your height. But then you get to college basketball and all the guards are 6'2" or 6'4". You know, you might be going against guys. Missouri State's team's huge. They're all so tall. Like, their shortest guy in their lineup last year is 6'5". So, you know, you as a smaller guard, he has to develop more his physical ability.
He's got a year plus.
I wouldn't even be surprised if, like, his freshman year he plays a very limited role where he comes off the bench for 5 or 8 minutes and is a spark plug, takes 3 threes, makes 2, and
we'll see.
Yeah, but I'm excited for Baylor Hebb. Super cool to have someone commit and know the roster right now. I think that's an advantage for the coaching squad and Porter and Valentine and all those guys. But Baylor Hebb, excited to introduce you to the squad. Excited to talk about you for season 3 next year when you're putting up 20-point games.
There we go. Excited to be back, guys.
Yeah, we'll keep you updated on all things Loyola basketball. We're going to start doing weekly podcasts from now on. We are committed from now until the start of the season.
Whether it's in person or over the phone, we'll get it done for you guys.
Yeah, we can do our special Skype interviews from you in the rafters. I don't know. Do you have anything else? I'm trying to think. I don't think.
No, I think that's it. Thanks for listening, for those who made it this far.
Yeah.
And it means a lot to be back.
Yeah, season 2, going to be better than season 1.
Improvement,
improving, always improving, step forward.
There we go.
This, that, and then
inspirational
the other thing.
Quote, culture.
So, this has been way too long. We're going to end it here. But as always, go Blairs.